Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chaba Baja. And last time we spoke, we talked about Game 3. Tonight, we will talk about Game 4 of the NBA Finals between the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks did take the game tonight. They won 109-103 in a really interesting ending to the game. If you were watching, you were definitely on the edge of your seat. You didn't really know which way it was heading. But at the end of the day, it was a good outcome if you are a Milwaukee Bucks fan. Because the Bucks did win tonight, so far the home team has won every game. So the next game will be in Phoenix, so it'll be interesting to see if the Bucks can get the win or if the narrative continues where the home team keeps winning. Like I stated, the Bucks did win 109-103. It started pretty rough for the Bucks, I'm not going to lie. You know, it looked like it probably wasn't going to be the Milwaukee Bucks night. You know, they just weren't making shots, especially Giannis. He looked really off in that first half. He wasn't being aggressive. You know, they weren't really running plays for him. He wasn't his typical self, you know, clogging the lane, attacking the basket. He wasn't really doing much of that. He wasn't even really taking shots at much during the first half. But during the first half, it was really Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday who kept them in the game. Mostly it was Chris Middleton, though. He did a good job. He had 16 points in the first half. So it was a good deal. But yeah, like I stated, the Milwaukee Bucks did get the win. Chris Middleton had a big night tonight for the Bucks, and so did Devin Booker for the Suns. You know, it looked like Devin Booker, you know, since he was playing so well, it looked like, you know, the Suns might pull this off. You know, all game, the Bucks didn't really look like they were in a good rhythm. You know, I wasn't confident at all during the whole game, you know, watching the Bucks. But they did come out on top, and really Chris Middleton was just on fire in the fourth quarter, but really all game. But really in the clutch, he was really, really good. Middleton ended the night with 40 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. He shot 15 of 33 from the field. He made 3 3-pointers. He also did get 2 steals, so he was also very effective on defense. Giannis, it wasn't his typical, you know, minimum 30-point, 12-rebound game, but he did end the night with 26 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 11 of 19 shooting. He did also have 3 steals and 2 blocks, and one of those blocks was absolutely legendary. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but one of those blocks was impressive. Drew Holiday, he did not shoot well at all tonight, but he did make, you know, some critical plays. He ended the night with 13 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He only shot 25% from the field tonight, shooting 4 for 20 from the field. He made no 3-pointers. He was 0 for 5. But he did have 3 steals, and one of those steals came in really clutch at the end of the game there. And then role players, it was really Pat Connaughton who stepped up. He had 11 points, 9 rebounds. He shot 4 for 9 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3. So he stepped up tonight. For the Suns, like I stated, Devin Booker had a really big night. He ended with 42 points. Only 1 rebound, 2 assists. He shot 17 for 28 from the field. No 3-pointers, even though he attempted 3 of them. And it seemed like he ended the night with 8 fouls, but somehow he didn't foul out. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. Chris Paul, he just didn't. Tonight was not his night. He ended with 10 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists. Shot 5 of 13 from the field. No 3-pointers. He had 5 turnovers. You know, he just was not good tonight. I mean, if you go on Twitter, he's really taking a beating. You know, everyone's kind of blaming it on them, on him, saying, I've seen some tweets of people saying that Chris Paul wasted a 42-point night by Devin Booker. He had some bad turnovers. Was, like I said, it was not shooting the ball well. He just wasn't his typical efficient self. So that was rather odd to see, because he has been efficient all game, or I'm sorry, all playoff long. So that was interesting to see. Also, DeAndre Ayton. He did not have a big game. He did on the glass, but other than rebounding, he did not have a, you know, an impressive game at all. He only ended the night with 6 points. He did have 17 rebounds and 5 assists. He shot 3 for 9 from the field, which is really odd. You know, if you've been keeping an eye on Ayton, he has been shooting what seems like 70-80% from the field every night. So seeing a night like this where he only shot 33%, it's, you know, it was hard to watch sometimes. But still, he tried everything he could. Obviously, he wasn't knocking down shots, but he was doing other things to try and keep his team in the game, like I stated, with those 17 rebounds. Jay Crowder, you know, he had a pretty good night for the Suns. He has got a good series so far. Other than the first game, game one, he ended with 1 point. Since then, he's been knocking down shots, and not only just knocking down shots, but knocking down what seem like critical shots. You know, whether the Suns are in a scoring drought or where they feel like their lead is dwindling and the Bucks are making a comeback. You know, seems like Crowder's always been that guy that's hitting, you know, big shots that keep the Suns in the game. Unfortunately, he was not able to keep the Suns in the game tonight, but he did have a good night with 15 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He only shot 3 for 10 from the field, 3 for 9 from 3, but still, you know, good game. So, yeah, it was an interesting game. Like I stated, in the first half, it seemed like everything was rolling for the Suns. Devin Booker started the night off scoring. He was, you know, seemed like he was making every basket he'd take. Giannis, he did not seem like himself in the first half. He just wasn't aggressive. He wasn't attacking the basket. He wasn't clogging the paint. You know, he just didn't seem like himself. You know, he wasn't aggressive. And, you know, if there's something that Giannis has been all series long, it's been aggressive. You know, even when the Bucks seem like they're not making shots or when they're not playing well, it always seems like Giannis is the one guy that is. So it was really odd to see him, you know, not play up to his standards in the first half, but he more than made up for it by the end of the game. You know, Chris Middleton, also, like I said, Devin Booker had a big night, 42 points. The first half, he ended with 20 points. I mean, it looked like he was going to have a 50-pointer. But some things happened in the game. You know, he got into a little bit of foul trouble in the fourth quarter. So that kind of didn't let him score to his full potential. But he, like I stated, it seemed like he's committed about 8 fouls in this game. But, you know, well, I'll talk about that a little bit later. That's going to be when I'm talking about the ending of the game. But, yeah, the first half, the Bucks were just settling for jumpers and three-pointers. They, like I stated, they just weren't attacking the basket enough. I mean, if there's something that we've seen here in the last two games, it's the Bucks have seen a formula that seems to work against the Suns. And that formula is attacking the basket, not settling for jumpers, not settling for three-pointers, attacking a guy like DeAndre Ayton. I mean, I talked about this last episode. DeAndre Ayton's the only big that the Suns seem to have. Now that Šarić is, you know, out with a torn ACL, I mean, the Suns just have no bigs other than DeAndre Ayton. You know, he's the only guy with size. He's about 6'11". After, you know, after DeAndre Ayton, the second biggest guy is Frank Kaminsky, but he has not been effective in the little minutes that Monty Williams has given him here in the series. And tonight was a testament to that because we didn't even see him at all. So, you know, the Bucks have definitely seen a formula that seems to work. They were not doing that in the first half. The second half, they definitely worked more towards that. But yeah, Ayton just getting a whole bunch of rebounds. Booker was automatic from mid-range, especially, you know, in the first quarter, like I stated, or first half, he had 20 points. In the third quarter, he had 18. So by the end of the third quarter, he had 38 points. So yeah, it just seemed like he was really, really going to probably get the Suns and will them to a victory, but he did not. Booker had 5 fouls with about 10 minutes and 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. So Monty Williams had to take him out for a period of time. I believe he came back in with about 6 minutes left. And when he did, he just wasn't in rhythm anymore. He wasn't making shots. You know, like I stated, he ended with 42 points for the night. So going from 38 points in the third quarter to ending with 42 points at the end of the game, he only scored 4 points in the fourth. So the Suns definitely could have used his scoring. But the Bucks, man, clutch defense to end the game. Just really, really clutch. You know, they were just all over the Suns. They were just making it difficult. I talked about this also in the last episode. Something that seems to really bother the Suns is defensive pressure by the Bucks. You know, and by that I mean they're just all over them. You know, they're sticking their hands in there, trying to get deflections, trying to get steals, you know, not allowing clear passes, you know, making passes difficult, clogging the paint, clogging the lane. And it's really been working for the Bucks. It's really making the Suns work. And, you know, Ayton, thank goodness for the Suns, Ayton, you know, with his 17 rebounds, he really got the Suns a lot of second chance opportunities. That's pretty much been the story for Ayton all playoffs along, not just the series. His rebounding has been elite, to say the least. Although he wasn't really able to do what he typically does, getting, you know, tip-ins, putbacks. But he still was able to get some offensive rebounds for them. Chris Middleton was fantastic. He's really the guy that secured the game for the Bucks at the end. He was just so absolutely clutch. Excuse me. He was so clutch. You know, he was just hitting shots. He was confident, aggressive. Just to state how clutch he was, let's just compare Chris Middleton to the Suns in the final 2 minutes and 15 seconds of the fourth quarter. So Chris Middleton, in the final 2 minutes 15, he had 10 points compared to the Suns' 4 points. Middleton shot 3 of 5 from the field compared to the Suns' 2 for 6. That's 60% to 33% shooting. Middleton was 4 for 4 from the free throw line. The Suns did not shoot any free throws. He didn't make any threes, didn't attempt any threes, and the Suns were 0 for 1. So, yeah, Chris Middleton, like I said, 10 points in the last 2:15 of the game. He was just all over the place, super aggressive, super confident, attacking the basket, making jump shots, making threes. He was just... he was great, and something that we hadn't seen from the Bucks so far, we had seen Giannis obviously be incredible all series long. We saw Jrue Holiday have a good game last game, really last 2 games, but one thing we hadn't seen was a Chris Middleton game, and he gave it to us tonight. He like I said, he just secured the game for the Bucks in a game where the Bucks weren't really shooting well. They weren't effective. Giannis, like I said, he wasn't very aggressive, his typical aggressive self. You know, just to show you, the Suns, they shot 51.3% from the field tonight. The Bucks only shot 40.2%. So with that, the Suns are the first team in NBA history to lose a finals game despite shooting better than 50% and holding the Bucks below 42% shooting. So, you know, the Bucks, they were just resilient. They were not giving up on plays, especially on defense. You know, for the shots they weren't making, they were making up for it by getting stops on the defensive end. You know, a couple guys ended with multiple steals, either steals or blocks. Giannis, he had just an incredible block at the end of the game there. I'm going to talk about that just in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it was great. You know, Connaughton had some big rebounds in the fourth quarter as well. He's a really good offensive rebounder for a guard. You know, in all the Suns' traffic, he would get up there, he would get the rebounds, he would get putbacks, or, you know, he'd secure the rebound and pull it back out and pass it out to Middleton or Holiday, but he was getting those rebounds, so really, really impressive. So yeah, it was an interesting game. It was fun. You were on the edge of your seat. Like I said, Devin Booker with those five fouls, he came back in. Towards the end of the game, there were some fouls that were not called on Booker. I mean, there was one foul. Booker already had five fouls. And there was this one foul that should have been called a foul, but wasn't. The Bucks were in transition. They had stolen the ball. Jrue Holiday had stolen the ball. He was coming up the floor, and Devin Booker was the only guy back in transition defense. So it was a 3-on-1 attack. It was Jrue Holiday, Giannis, and Chris Middleton barreling towards the basket. Once Jrue Holiday got that steal, Holiday had the ball. So Booker was back on defense. Holiday decided to attack. Booker jumped up. It looked like Holiday was going up for the layup, but Booker jumped up with him. He kind of wrapped his arms around Holiday as he jumped up, which was a clear foul. I mean, as clear as day, and the referees did not call that. Holiday was somehow able to get that ball over to Giannis, and Giannis followed it up with the layup. But yeah, that was a questionable no call. That was definitely a foul. And then there were also, and you could say Booker fouled Holiday twice on that. He fouled him once when Holiday picked up the ball, and then he fouled him again, like I say, did when they both got up in the air and he kind of wrapped his arms around him. So yeah, questionable decisions there by the officials. In my opinion, Booker should not have ended that game. He should have definitely fouled out. But by that point, when Giannis made that basket, they were up by four, and from that point, they did not look back. And also Giannis with an incredible block. You know, he was just so impressive with that block. So what was happening? The Suns were attacking. There was about, I'm trying to see here. I got it here somewhere. Well, either way, you know, Giannis. Okay, so the Suns were attacking. I believe it was either Chris Paul or Devin Booker, but they threw a lob pass up to DeAndre Ayton. He caught the ball in the air. It looked like he was going to have a just an easy dunk there that was going to tie the game. The Bucks were up 101-99 at this point. I do remember that. So they were up 101-99. Chris Paul or Devin Booker, they throw up a lob to DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton looked like he was going to have an easy dunk and tie the game and potentially an and-one opportunity if he got fouled. And out of nowhere, Giannis, he just jumps up as soon as DeAndre Ayton grabs the ball from that lob. Ayton is coming down from the lob. He was just going to dunk it right there with basically an alley-oop. And Giannis comes in and he just blocks that dunk. A clean block. All ball. And, you know, it went out of bounds and it was just an incredible block. I mean, it was as significant it seemed as LeBron's block, where he came from behind Andre Iguodala in the finals and blocked him for that easy layup. Obviously, that block by LeBron was in Game 7. This was in a Game 4, but it just had that same. It seemed like it had that same impact on the game as that block by LeBron did. So yeah, Giannis was incredible. Defensively, he was making up for what he wasn't doing on offense, what he usually does. He was making up for it with his defense. You know, he ended up, like I said, with 3 steals, 2 blocks. So he was incredible. Also, like I stated, Devin Booker tonight with 42 points. The rest of the Suns starters tonight, Devin Booker had 42. The rest of the Suns starters had 38 points. And also, Booker was the only starter with a positive plus minus. So, yeah, and Chris Paul is usually one of the guys on the Suns that has always a positive plus minus. Not tonight. You know, also Chris Paul, like I say, he had 5 turnovers tonight. Chris Paul has had 15 turnovers in the last 3 games for a guy that's known as the point god. You know, a guy who is notorious for securing the ball. A guy notorious for A guy that is notorious for not turning over the ball. And he has had 15 in the last 3 games. In those last 3 games, Drew Holiday has been his primary defender. So that right there tells you, listen, we've all known Drew Holiday is pretty much the best defensive guard. He is definitely proving that in this series. He has been incredible on Chris Paul. He only let Chris Paul in with 10 points, 5 of 13, like I stated. No 3-pointers. So he was great. So just outstanding performance defensively. And also, how great has Giannis been in the finals? Let me just read this out. Game one for Giannis, which is when he had come back from his hyperextended knee. It was his first game back, so let's give him a little break. But game one, he ended with 20 points, 17 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. 55% shooting. That was game one. Game two, he ended with 42 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 68% shooting. The last game, game three, he ended with 41 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 61% shooting. And then tonight, obviously his 26 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 58% shooting. He has just been great. If the Bucks win the championship, Giannis is going to put himself on a whole other level. He was already elite. He was already top 5 in the NBA. I mean, this championship for Giannis, if he gets it, he is going to be an all-time great. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And also, Chris Middleton, he's going to have to... I think if they win the championship, Chris Middleton will be cemented as one of the best players in the league. He has to. I mean, Middleton, he is a little I'm not, I don't want to say he's a little streaky, but he does step up when it matters. I mean, just look at the game 6 against the Brooklyn Nets, 38 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Game 7 against the Brooklyn Nets, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Game 5 against Atlanta, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. Game 6 versus Atlanta to close out the series, 32 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, and now game 4 with his 40 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. So yeah. You know, we can get frustrated with Chris Middleton as much as we want some games where we say he's not aggressive enough or he's not knocking down shots. But man, he shows up when it matters. Yes, he does. Also, Booker's with his 42 points, he also made history. Booker now has scored the most points ever by a player in his first playoff run. Rick Barry is number two on that. So yeah, just really, really great. Unfortunately, wasn't able to get the W, but you know, good game nevertheless. And yeah, just to look at Giannis again. Giannis threw his first four through his first four NBA finals ever. He's averaging 32.3 points, 14 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1.8 steals, 1.5 blocks, 61.3% shooting. I mean, he has just been historic. I mean, just outstanding. And I mean, the Suns also, they just played such careless basketball, it seemed like a lot of times. I mean, they gave up 17 offensive rebounds. I mean, look, DeAndre Ayton, he's an elite rebounder. He ended the night with 17 rebounds, but he can't get every rebound. You know, he needs help, and that's what I'm saying. The Suns just don't have enough bigs. They don't have enough big bodies to put down there, especially against the Bucks, who are a big team. You know, they got Giannis, they got Brook Lopez, they got Bobby Portis. I mean, they are huge compared to the Suns. After DeAndre Ayton, who's the second tallest guy on the court for the Suns usually? Cam Johnson? And what? Cam Johnson is 6'8"? Maybe 6'9"? I doubt that. I'm gonna say 6'8". I mean, they're just a small team. They just don't have the size sometimes to go up against a team like the Bucks. Now, they more than make up for it with their shooting because, I mean, it seems like everyone that they put on the court can knock down shots. But man, when it comes to rebounding and size, it's hard. And not only the 17 offensive rebounding, but they committed 17 turnovers. 17 turnovers. The Bucks committed five. Five turnovers for the Bucks. I mean, they were so good. They really protected the ball. They were really good on that perspective. I mean, they were so good. I mean, every time they turn over the ball, I mean, you were shocked. You were shocked in this game because you weren't seeing it. So, wow. So, yes, Suns 17 turnovers, Bucks 5. Wow. So the Bucks are now 9-1 at home in these playoffs. 9-1. So they have really defended home court. But the next game is going to be in Phoenix, and we know how tough it is to play there. That crowd is rowdy, proud, and loud. I mean, they really affect Giannis too, especially free throw. Mostly free throws. I don't think Giannis gets, you know, rattled that easily. But definitely on the free throw line. I mean, every time he's shooting free throws or counting down to 10, trying to get the ref to say he's committed a free throw violation. But yeah, and unfortunately, what would make you, if I was a Bucks fan, what would make me nervous is the fact that Chris Middleton does not have great games on the road. So that's something that they're going to have to push. Giannis is going to have to be his incredible self. But yeah, they really need Jrue Holiday to step up. They really need Chris Middleton to step up. Jrue was not great offensively in this game. He really hasn't been great offensively in the series. But he's done enough. But they need him to be efficient. They need him to be aggressive, and they need him to make shots. But if he's not making shots, he needs to tone it down. Because you know, tonight he was 4 of 20. He saw he wasn't making shots, but he was taking them. So sometimes he can be a little overly confident. Which I guess you'd rather him be confident and take shots than not take them. But, you know, him and Chris Middleton need to step up. Pat Connaughton needs to step up, although he's been great in this series. I don't have much to complain about him. Bobby Portis needs to step up. Now, if you're a Suns fan, the good news is, like I said, they're going to be at home. And when they're at home, Mikal Bridges plays well. Cam Johnson plays well, although he's played well on the road. Campaign usually plays a little better, although he hasn't been great this series at all. Torrey Craig should play a little better. Devin Booker, I expect him to play a big game, especially knowing that if they lose the next game, they're going to be down 3-2 heading into Milwaukee. That'd be kind of scary if you're a Suns fan. Next game is going to be a really fun one. I have a feeling it's going to get really chippy. I mean, not that it hasn't been. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be fun to see. As we know, usually the winner of Game 5, when it's tied 2-2, usually defines who the winner is. I believe the number is about 79% of the time the winner of Game 5 when the series is tied 2-2. I believe 79% of the time the winner of Game 5 goes on to win the championship. Well, not the championship, but out of 7 game series, the winner of Game 5, 79% of the time, goes on to win the series. So obviously, whoever wins Game 5 has a 79% chance of winning the finals and getting the championship. It'd be interesting also to see who's going to officiate Game 5 in Phoenix. As we know, Chris Paul likes to make drama, and he likes to complain about a certain guy named Scott Foster. I think it'd be kind of really fun to see Scott Foster officiate in Game 5, just to add a little bit more drama. It's going to be a great game, but the Bucks really, really need to go in aggressive. Giannis, I don't think he can have a game like tonight. Although he had a great game, really. Great numbers. 26 points, 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He was great. But he wasn't aggressive enough. He wasn't attacking enough. If Giannis would have played at 100% like he's been in this series, this game would not have been as close as it was. He's going to have to be his typical great self. Chris Middleton's going to have to step up and have a big night. I'm not saying score 40 points, but, you know, he's going to have to score 25 points. Jrue Holiday's going to have to score 18, 20 points. I think for the Bucks to have a chance, because like I stated, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, all these role players for the Suns are really going to step up. I'm sure that Devin Booker is going to step up. He's not short of confidence. Chris Paul, I'm sure, is going to play better. DeAndre Ayton, I'm sure, is going to play better at home. So, but again, the key is, I think the Bucks, if they want to give themselves a good chance, they need to attack. But they need to attack DeAndre Ayton. They need to get him in foul trouble. If they can get him in foul trouble, their chances are astronomically better. Because if they get him in foul trouble, obviously Monty Williams is going to have to take him out of the game. And if he's taken out of the game, they don't have that size. They don't have that rim protection. And then the Bucks can just go in and attack, and they can get themselves some pretty easy baskets. And, you know, as we've seen, the Bucks thrive when they attack the basket. You know, when they live in the paint, that is when they play the best. They should not settle for jump shots. They should not settle for threes. They need to attack. And, you know, if they can get DeAndre Ayton in trouble, then that just clears the lane for them, and they can attack a lot easier. You know, who's going to rim protect for the Suns if DeAndre Ayton's out? Jay Crowder, who's 6'7", Cam Johnson, who's 6'8", and not bulky and strong at all. Giannis can rip through Cam Johnson and Jay Crowder. Brook Lopez, we've seen him be really aggressive lately. You know, he can get rebounds. He can get offensive rebounds. He can fight and get in there and get tip-ins and putbacks. So, you know, the Bucks need to put themselves in an advantageous position and, you know, just attack, get DeAndre Ayton in trouble, in foul trouble. Don't settle for jump shots. I mean, so it'll be fun. It's going to be a really, really good one. I'm really excited for Game 5. So anyway, so that concludes this episode. So we had a really fun game tonight. I am 100% confident that Game 5 is going to be just as fun, if not funner. The drama is going to be increased. The crowd is going to go crazy. Legacy's on the line. Can Chris Paul put his team up 3-2? Can Giannis put his team up 3-2? You know, if Chris Paul doesn't win this championship, this is probably the last chance that Chris Paul is ever going to get at a championship. Because remember, the Suns are soon going to have to pay DeAndre Ayton and other guys, like the Cam Johnsons of the world, the Mikal Bridges of the world. They're really going to have to pay these guys. So are they going to want to sign Chris Paul to a 3-year, $100 million deal, which is reportedly what he's looking for? So this could be the last chance. I mean, there's a lot of discussion that the Knicks are really going to fight hard to get Chris Paul. I wouldn't expect the Knicks to be in the finals next season, even with Chris Paul. So it's going to be really, really interesting. So yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I'm so excited. So right after the game, I am going to record. So I will be posting the episode late that night. So the episode, you'll probably have it available in the morning. So it's going to be, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Also, I am working right now to have another collaboration podcast episode. Not with Clutch Talk, but with another podcast. So keep an eye out for that. I did speak to Clutch Talk, though, and we said that we were going to do a podcast right after the finals. Once we know who the champion is, that's when we're going to do an episode together. And then we also talked and we said that we were going to do a free agency episode during the off season. So keep an eye out for two episodes with Clutch Talk. And I'm in talks right now with another podcast to do an episode. I'm not sure when that would be. I'm hoping within the next three episodes. But we'll have to decide. We'll see. I will keep you guys posted as always. But anyways, so yeah, game five will be Saturday. So again, I'll be recording the episode Saturday night. So it'll probably be available Sunday morning. So keep an eye out for that. So yeah, that is it for tonight's episode. It was a lot of fun. Thank you again, guys, for listening. You know, the podcast has been doing great numbers. The podcast has been growing a lot. I'm really more than satisfied with the numbers that we're getting. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all the support that the podcast has gotten. Yep, that applause is for you guys, not for me. So thank you so much for the support of the podcast. But okay, so I will talk to you guys Sunday. I will, like I said, I'll record Saturday night after the game. So it will be available Sunday night. And guys, thank you again once again. Again, please, if you guys have any questions, concerns, topics, anything that you want me to talk about, please hit me up on Twitter. Our Twitter is @TheBigShotPod. Just hit us up on Twitter with any questions that you have or anything that you want us to discuss on the podcast, and I'll be more than glad to talk about it. But okay, again, I am your host, as always, Chaba Baja. And this is the Big Shot Pod. Thank you so much for listening. Signing out. Have a great night, guys.